Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let the Bible Speak. Could I welcome you along to this service? It's a great joy for me to have this opportunity of sharing the Word of God with you. The great Puritan preacher Thomas Watson ministered in the mid-1600s, and speaking on one occasion about the Word of God, he said, "Think in every line you read that God is speaking to you." And I trust that as we read the Scriptures and I seek to expound them, that you will hear God speaking to you today. Let us just bow together in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege that is ours of coming before Thee. Thou art a great God and greatly to be praised. We recognize that every good and every perfect gift cometh down from our Father above. We thank Thee for the very breath that we breathe. And we praise Thee most of all for Thy so great salvation. We thank Thee for that day when You plucked at us as brands from the burning and saved us by Thy grace. And we ask, Lord, that Thou wouldst help us in all that we do to glorify Thy name. Help us to serve Thee even with all of our hearts. We thank Thee for this service, and we pray that as Thy word goes forth, that we might hear Thee speaking to our hearts. Lord, I ask that I might be Thy mouthpiece, that Thou wouldst give us words from Thyself, and that Thou wouldst apply them to each and to every heart. So, Lord, be with us this day, for we pray in Thy name and for Thy glory. Amen. Amen. We're turning in our Bibles today to the first epistle of John and to the chapter 2. 1 John and the chapter 2. And we're breaking into the chapter at the verse 13. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his precious word to each of our hearts. At this stage, we are going to have a well-known hymn. It is the hymn, I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel his presence near me and his arm around me thrown. I wish to draw your attention to the verse 13 of the passage that we read earlier. John writes at verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. As we come into this epistle, we find John speaking straight from the shoulder. His words are clear and plain. In verse 11, he warned them that if they hated their brother, then they were in darkness. Of course, the flower that's kept in darkness may grow for a little while, but it will eventually wither and die. In other words, if they did not love their brethren, then they were spiritually dead. Expanding on this subject, he then adds in verse 15, that if they loved the world, then the love of the Father was not in them. In other words, they were also spiritually dead. However, lest this emphasis upon what they loved or did not love would overwhelm them, he then in the intervening verses drew their attention away from themselves, lifting their eyes upwards. He, in the space of three verses, uses the word because not once or even twice, but six times over. In so doing, he was reminding them that he was writing to them because their sins had been forgiven, because they knew the Father, because they were strong and had overcome the wicked one, and because the Word of God abided in them. And he draws their attention in these verses to what the Lord had done in them, and more than that, for what the Lord had done for them. You see, in life, as well as looking at our works, there must be a looking at Christ's work, a reminding ourselves of what the Lord has done in us, and more than that, what the Lord has done for us. Indeed, writing to the Hebrew converts, Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12 in the verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And as the runner in the race sets his eyes upon the finish line, so he was urging them here to fix their eyes upon what Christ had and what Christ was doing for them. You see, as well as looking inwardly and looking outwardly, there needs to be that looking upwardly, a remembering of the grace of God in our lives. Charles Gabriel, taking his pen, he wrote, "For all the Lord has done for me, I never will cease to love him." And as well as considering what we love or what we don't love, there needs in life to be a considering of the love of God, a meditating upon his sacrifice, a considering what he has done in us and what he is doing for us. Rather than gazing upon our works, we need to take time in life to pull back and to remember and consider what the Lord has done for us. And so I want, just for a short time, to draw your attention to these words of the apostle. We notice firstly here that there is a summons to spiritual maturity. In these verses, John speaks of three different types of people. In so doing, notice that there is a progression here. He said in that verse 13, "I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children." As we have seen, he mentions here three different types of people: children, young men, and then fathers. It has been rightly said that a child is immature, a young person is inexperienced, and an adult is incredible. While that may be slightly overstating the case, yet there is in these three types of people mentioned an obvious progression, a progressing in wisdom, stature, and in strength. It is also interesting to note that he identifies fathers and children in the same way. He said, "Ye have known him that is the Father." Of course, children and fathers know their fathers in very different ways. While the child simply sees his father as his provider and his protector, the father looks upon his father as a fountain of wisdom and as a friend. And in using these three different pictures, he was here demanding growth, a progressing from spiritual childhood into spiritual adulthood. You see, rather than remaining in spiritual immaturity, we are to be progressing through spiritual adolescence into spiritual maturity, ever growing in wisdom and in grace. Indeed, speaking to the Jewish converts, Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." You notice here that this was a command. But how do you command someone to grow? In the natural realm, they grow by eating the right things, by keeping themselves in the right environment, and by exercise. In other words, if they were to be growing in grace, they needed to be continually feasting upon the Word of God, keeping themselves in the right spiritual environment, and by prayer. You see, we're not to be like Hezekiah's son, which went backwards, or like Joshua's son, which stood still. But we are to be constantly advancing. We're to be growing in grace. Nothing delights a father more than to see his little baby crawling along the floor and playing with toys. But if after 20 years he's still crawling on the floor and still playing with the same toys, he rightly becomes concerned. There's nothing wrong with being a baby, but there is something very, very wrong with remaining a baby. If you are still spiritually crawling after many years in the Christian life, if you are still throwing spiritual tantrums, then there is something wrong. You see, believer, you're not to be standing still, but you're to be growing in grace. And if you're not growing, then could I encourage you, feast upon the Word of God. Get yourself into the right environment. Spend time. Spend time in prayer with the Lord. But not only is there a progression here, but I think there's a price here. He said, verse 13, I write unto you fathers. I write unto you young men. I write unto you little children. In life, a child looks for his father to do certain things for him. But when he grows up and becomes a father himself, his whole attitude then changes. He no longer comes with his hands stretched out looking for money. But he seeks to help his father. And when his father's name is attacked, he comes to his father's defense. In other words, growing in grace, their attitude would change from what they could get to what they could give. You see, rather than asking, what can the Lord do for me? The growing Christian asks, what can I do for the Lord? He looks to give rather than to get. Indeed, Saul of Tarsus being converted and falling before the Lord there on the road to Damascus, he said in Acts chapter 9, verse 6, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And growing in grace, he asked what he could do for the Lord rather than what the Lord could do for him. You see, growing in grace, the believer ceasing to look inwardly, he begins to look outwardly, and more than that, he begins to look upwardly. Instead of seeking the Lord to serve him, he seeks to serve the Lord. In his inaugural speech in 1961, J.F. Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And if we are growing in grace, our attitude will change from what can I get to what can I give. We will be seeking to serve the Lord. We will be asking the Lord, what job can I do for you? How can I witness for you? We'll be seeking to serve him. You see, in our Christian life, there is to be maturity. There is to be that growing in grace. But not only do we notice here the summons to spiritual maturity, but we notice the signs of spiritual maturity. Becoming young men and then fathers. Notice here, they would be successful. He said, verse 13, I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Notice he didn't say that they had overcome temptation. It was far, far, far greater than that. It was that they had overcome the wicked one. The word overcome here is the word from which we get the word Nike. For many years, the United States military called their missiles Nike missiles. And of course, we have today Nike shoes and Nike shirts. The word simply means to conquer. In other words, it was not so much that they could, but that they would overcome the wicked one. You see, in Christ, victory is not merely a possibility, but it is a certainty. We can overcome the wicked one. And in confirming this, John wrote in the chapter 4, in the verse 4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And he reminded them that Christ, who is omnipotent, being in them, they could overcome. You see, through the cross, we're not merely crowned, but we become conquerors. We can overcome the devil, overcome the world and the flesh. Adolf Hitler rising to power, it is said that he conquered 1,370,000 square miles of ground. Alexander did even better. He conquered 2,180,000 square miles. However, in Christ, there is no enemy that we cannot overcome. There is no ground that we cannot take. There is no sin so deeply entrenched in our lives that we cannot uproot. Maybe you say, "I feel more of a pushover than I do an overcomer." It may be because you're neglecting the Word of God. It may be because you're not keeping yourself in the right environment. It may be because you're neglecting prayer. You see, we don't need to live in defeat. In Christ, we can have the victory. In Christ, you can overcome that sin. And you can overcome that temptation. Not only would they be successful, they would be fruitful. Growing in grace, he said, verse 13, "I write unto you fathers." He describes them here as fathers. However, before a person can become a father, they must have a son or a daughter. And as such, in growing in grace, he was indicating here that they would then have sons and daughters in the faith. You see, if we are growing in grace, we will not only be faithful, but we will be fruitful. We will be bringing forth sons and daughters in the faith. You know, Romans chapter 7, Paul likens salvation to marriage. When we go back into the book of Genesis, we discover that one of the reasons that the Lord instituted marriage was that they might go forth and populate the world. And as such, in becoming the bride of Christ, they were to be fruitful, bringing forth sons and daughters in the faith. You see, as well as growing and sowing, we are to be reaping. We're to be bringing souls to the Savior. You see, believer, here is your purpose in life. God has saved you and God has left you in this world that you might be a soul winner, that you might witness, and that you might bring souls even to the Savior. And I wonder today, in this sense, are you a baby? Or are you a young man? Or are you a father in the faith? Are you growing in grace, seeking to win souls? But lastly, I want you to notice here the steps to spiritual maturity, showing them how they could become young men and then fathers in the faith. Notice there needs to be a searching of the word. He said, verse 14, "I've written unto you, young man, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." The word "abideth" here means to live with. In other words, if they were to grow in their faith and they were to overcome the wicked one, they needed to abide or live in the word of God. You see, if we're to grow in the faith, we need to feed on the word. It is only as we ponder the scriptures as we pray over the Scriptures, as we practice the Scriptures, that we are able to overcome. You want to overcome the devil. You want to overcome those temptations. You want to grow in the faith. Then take time to read the Word of God. My friend, meditate upon it. Think about it. Put it into practice in your life. Not only a searching of the Word, there needs to be a striving against the wicked. Setting forth the way to victory, he said in verse 14, "And ye have overcome the wicked one." Surely the word "overcome" here suggests a striving or a battling against the wicked one. You see, there must be a resisting of the devil, a fighting of his suggestions and of his schemes. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "You can't stop a crow landing in your head, but you can stop it building a nest there." And in life, we can't stop evil thoughts coming into our mind, but what we can do, we can stop them building a nest there. You see, believer, there must be a resisting of the devil. If we are going to grow in grace, there must be a fighting off of those suggestions, a driving them out of our minds, and a seeking to go through with God. And I wonder today, where are you in your Christian experience? Are you growing in grace? Are you a baby? Or are you a young man growing spiritually strong? Or are you a father? Where are you today? I trust that you will grow in grace by reading his word. Let us just bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy so great salvation. We thank thee that not only hast thou saved us, but you have given us thy word. Help us to grow in grace, to become strong, to be fathers, to win the lost even for thee. And so, Lord, take thy word, apply it to our hearts, for we pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.